jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 21 Supercoach Coach Podcast, and this week we're joined by special guest Faz.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
And of course, Mark FB Donkey's joining us as usual.
G'day, everyone.
All right, so not much to talk about, eh, boys?
No, most people run out of trades. Not much you can really do at this time of year.
So the only big issue in football at the moment is the Essendon Asada scandal, so I think we'll steer clear of that one as much as possible.
Yeah, are we steering clear of that, boys? Mark, yeah. Are you tempted recently?
Too much to say on the issue. People just tell me I'm a Bombers supporter and don't have any credibility, so stand by herd.
I understand that's frustrating, Mark, so we shall not dwell any longer than need be. We'll take on a different format this week. It's sort of interesting. I think if you're chasing the overall prize, you're probably not a huge week because there's not been much big news and most of us are our trades. So probably not too much action there. And if you're after the leagues, I think some of us either knocked out or you've already made it through to the prelims next week or you're fighting for your life this week, Mark. So the only real people, I guess, would be making the serious moves this week are the boys fighting for their lives to try and get in the prelim next week. And I'm certainly in one of those cash leagues, Mark. So I'm maybe looking at a trade or two for that cash league.
May as well go for it this week. You lose this week, there is no next week.
How about you, Faz? Facing any leagues this week?
Yeah, I unfortunately lost. I think only the second game of the year I lost in the first final. So I also used up my last trade last week. So I'm just going to have to keep my fingers crossed and hope that the team's good enough to keep on that winning form from earlier in the year.
Well, at least you used your last trade to make the final this week. So the structure we're going to take on, guys, is look through each one of the games to come this week and just try and identify any sort of points of differences or any players that we think are in for a big game this week. And then maybe look at any of those players that will be good for the next 2 weeks as well. And captaincy options are obviously a part of all that. So let's crack now, straight in. And
Marcus.
I
can understand why, but you seem to be skipping something.
I told you I didn't want to talk about it, but all right, since you bring it up, how do you go, Mark?
I had a big, in the number one ranked league in the country, we talked about this last week, I made the prelims, had a big clash against, I think it was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And managed to get up by about 30 points, even though you've beaten me in the rankings this year. I saved my best for the finals, as I told you that I would, and I think I got up by about 37 points in the end, which was just a nice, solid victory. But yeah, I rose back into the top 200 just, so still faint hopes that I could raise into the top 100 if everything goes right over the next 3 weeks, and but I'll probably be taking it pretty easy this week and waiting for the prelim next week, where I'm in the best Supercoach site, best SC site league. I made the prelims of that as well. So representing your Supercoach coach after winning that last year, hopefully I can take that back-to-back as well against all the other Supercoach advice sites that are out there.
Yeah, very nice representing us there. I think I got knocked out, didn't I, Mark?
I think so, mate. Even though you were probably second-ranked team in the competition, didn't make the top four.
Yeah, I think I lost to the Warn Dogs from DT Talk last week. So
he's also been sliding a bit over the last 6 weeks as well. He was top 50 for quite a while this season.
I think
Dunny's down to about 50, nearly 60. Had a bit of a poor week on the weekend, and unfortunately, he seems to have slipped out of contention. Supercoach Advisor that came on the show a little while ago, he's back into the top 10.
And how'd you go this week, Faz?
Well, this season has just not been too flash for me, possibly describes my absence on the show. Yeah, just I think this year it's been ultra competitive, as I'm sure you've been speaking about on the show, and my team just hasn't quite been up to the pace. I've been scoring around the 2,200 mark the last few weeks, and it's just seen my ranking sort of stagnate 9,250, so that's a woeful ranking compared to years gone past. But I just haven't quite got the perfect team on the park. And with this many trades this year, you really had to get everything right, just about. And a few poor decisions along the way has left me with a team that's full of premiums with some good bench coverage, but just not quite up to the standards. So, you know, I don't have any ultra unique players or anything like that. So there's no chance that I'm going to skyrocket through the rankings in the last few weeks. Yeah, so a bit of a disappointing year in Supercoach, I guess. But, you know, what can you do? You move on and start planning for next year.
I know a few people already started their 2014 planning as a result of 4 years.
Last week, Mark, we on the podcast, we talked about how I was going to run our trades. And then I said it was a pity because I was top 500 3 years in a row, and this year it had hurt to fall out. And I sort of psyched myself out a little bit, Mark. Worrying about the fall, really, falling outside the top 500. I think it'd be nice to say that I'd done that for 4 years, and I think that's pretty good for the advice sites out there. So I looked at how far I actually have to drop to fall out of the 500, and I got a pretty healthy amount. I was sitting about 350. So based on that, decided not to go the trade last week, Mark.
Sounds like you took the pussy option.
Yeah, I did take the pussy option. Didn't roll the dice to the nth degree like I have all the way.
You have been very aggressive this year.
Yeah, so to be fair, that was a bit out of character for the trading habits of this year, but actually went really well, Mark. I thought I'd take the hit this week. I'd fall a few hundred places, but at least I'd have one trade for the last 3 weeks and hopefully I'd be able to hold. I went up, Mark. I went up 22.74 off the back of, thank you, Joel Selwood, 160 points in a week where captains struggled.
With Gazza 100 points less, that's a huge call this week.
Yep, and that got me there, Mark. I went from 122 to 115, and pleased as pie, I have a trade left for the last three rounds. All of a sudden, Cruz might be back this week, Nichols might be back this week, and I might have a full team if Ibo's back too.
Still didn't beat me, though.
Still didn't beat you, but I think you'd be a bit nervous with Ryder out.
Yeah, oh, Ryder's back next week, mate. I'm pretty sure he only got this suspended for the 1 week.
Yeah.
And I've still got twice as many trades as you do. After trading Cruiser to Leuenberger on the weekend, I was all pro Minson on the show, and it probably cost me 40 points this week by going Leuenberger instead. But
yeah, I was surprised at that, Mark. I was hitting on your team, and I was like, no, you weren't Minson, but Louis.
Yeah, just maybe wanted that little bit extra cash involved. And Louis has the Giants this week and has a pretty good draw for a ruck, I think. So I've been pretty impressed with his form of late. I think that he can still turn it on before the end of the year, and probably wasn't expecting Minson to just return to form with a bang like he did on the weekend.
Yeah, I think definitely he's got the room to pay you back over the next 3 weeks, Louis. So hopefully he turns around. Banter all aside, I certainly hope we both, you know, finish in the top 100. We've got three more weeks to do it, Mark. So hold on to that number one league rank, which we've done this week again. Well done to the boys there.
Very tight battle up the top at the league rank. 150 points difference, I think. Maybe even a little bit less than that after it was about 1,000 a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not sure
whether
it's been so tight up the top with two groups really going for it in the last few years. So, yeah, I guess it is a bit exciting. And
it's been the biggest league finish, and I certainly hope that next year they take prizes into account, Mark. I know you talked to them about that, haven't you?
I have for several years. we've been hassling them, and I know that some of the other competitions out there actually do offer prizes. And I've been trying to create my own prizes for several years and offered bets to basically any group that would take them against our league. Some years it's been taken up, some years it hasn't. We've got a pretty good record in those bets when they have been taken, which is why they're probably not taken up every year. But, yeah, we've got five leagues in the top 20 still at the moment, so I think that's a pretty good effort. Like, your Supercoach coach has a lot of pretty committed members, but not a massive group of people, so to have five groups in the top 20 I think is a fantastic effort.
All right, so down to the actual fixture, guys. We'll start off at Hawthorn-Collingwood.
Excited about this game, mate.
Yeah, this is going to be a blockbuster. Who would have thought that Collingwood would be turning things around to the extent that they have over the last 2 weeks?
Sydney looked like they were going to destroy them in the first 20 minutes of football, and then Collingwood just completely turned it around.
Hmm.
Who do you reckon is going to win this one, fellas?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Collingwood, I think, just on the recent form. They look to be getting it all right at the right time of year, and I don't know, I guess Dane Beams makes that team look a hell of a lot better, and I guess that there's still a lot of youth in the side, but they seem to be holding up. From what I've seen, I can't really judge their performance against Essendon. You can't give that too much weight given how poor Essendon have been playing, but yeah, they're looking the good.
Yeah, I reckon Hawks might get up this week. They've got a pretty good record against the Pies, and just wouldn't underestimate their ability to just get it done in these big games.
From a Supercoach perspective, how are we looking for any points of difference from Hawthorn or Collingwood? I know we talked about Beams last week.
Last time they played, Jordan Lewis tagged Heath Shaw, and that generally Hawks leave those midfielders to just do their thing, and they back their own midfielders against them. So fair chance that Beams, Swan and Pendlebury have decent games, and one of them posts a 150 score, potentially even in a loss. From the Hawks side, a bit worried about Ruffy getting back into form, seeing as he's one of your point of differences against me, Marcus.
Well, that's disastrous news for me, the Lewis and Shaw thing, given that I got both of those in my side. And another thing to consider with this game is that this is the only game that we get to see completed before Gold Coast Port. So if you're looking at doing a vice captain loophole or any of that stuff, this is the only one you can get before Gazza will play, which we'll get to in a moment. But despite his one poor score last week, we do tend to like to see Gary play before you lock in anybody else as captain.
That's how I approached it, and I was pretty happy I did that on the weekend. I know my wife had Rockliffe as captain, and vice captain, and got the 125 and didn't take it because you just assume Albert's going to kill it, and cost her 60 points in the end.
Now, to the game of most interest, because we got to decide who gets the captaincy this week, and Gaz off the back of a 67. Do we take him against Port? Kane Corns last week on Joel Selwood
didn't go down
very well. But Ablett too, Mark, after he plays poorly, he tends to back it up pretty well. I think the last time he had a poor game, his next game was like a 180 or something.
Yeah, last year had a poor game against St Kilda, scored below 70 and 188 the next week. So that was against North. So definitely has the potential to go big again, and I wouldn't be losing faith in Ablett. What do you think about the way he got treated on the weekend, Faz?
Yeah, well, I didn't see the game itself. I saw some of the footage on the couch. And one thing that I thought just in terms of this week against Port is that the way Melbourne with McKenzie and I think it was Garland around the contest, they just seemed to have no intention whatsoever of looking at the football. It was all about just blocking Gazza's run as much as possible. You'd think that this week Port Adelaide will be a bit more focused on actually winning the game of football because it's quite important for them. They look like they're going to be a top eight side. Gold Coast are also not a pushover, so it's sort of going to be Port going out just trying to win the game of football. Melbourne, don't think they were really close to winning against the Suns last week. They can just have some of those like small wins within the game, like keep Gaz to 19 possessions. They probably went off the ground just about celebrating that as a win with the way their season's gone. That's a different story for Port Adelaide. Their number one focus is obviously winning the game of football.
Hard to believe that it wasn't very long ago that Collingwood didn't put anyone on Gary Ablett and lost the game and were looking terrible. It seems like a long time ago, considering Collingwood's recent form and what's happened to Gaz in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, think about how good Essendon were playing back then. it's a distant memory.
Next game on the line sheet, Essendon v North, and unfortunately for you two boys, the Bombers have had the regular fade-out mark. I flagged this a few weeks ago and you poo-pooed me, so it's interesting that has actually fallen into place again. North Melbourne have actually been playing some pretty fast, quick football, and it presents quite a danger game for Essendon, I think, if North can use their foot skills and handball through quickly again. Essendon might struggle with the pace of the midfield.
Yeah, I think they played pretty well at Etihad. They weren't very impressive at all against Adelaide on the weekend. Who knows what Essendon team's going to turn up. The stuff that they served up against West Coast was atrocious. Like, their kicking dispose efficiency was very, very frustrating as a supporter. So I'll be there still cheering on the Bombers, and hopefully we can show a bit better this week.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. Like, both sides are very up and down with their form. You know, North can play some very good football and also some very bad football. Essendon are doing the same this year. So we could either get an absolute crackerjack game with two quick young midfields just both, you know, zipping the ball up and down Etihad Stadium, or, you know, I guess the pessimist within me is saying it could be a yet another 50-point-plus defeat, as the last few weeks have turned into for Essendon.
I think for Essendon, there's probably a bit of a risk picking up fantasy players there, just because team hasn't been performing as such.
Like this Paddy effing Ryder. Yeah. What a joke. 4 weeks of terribleness, yeah, and get suspended.
Scores are not reflective of the averages in recent times, but Job Watson is the one player that you can count on. 115, 118 last 2 weeks.
And he's good value at the moment. He's below 500K, so...
And nobody has
it. Not too many midfielders that are looking like missing, but, you know, something could happen with team sheets tomorrow night. So Joe Watson's definitely somebody to keep in mind. Point of difference and, you know, proven scorer and everything.
Yeah. I think North is a lot more interesting from a fantasy perspective. And, Mark, I've talked them down the last few weeks, and you warned me about that. So let me have it, Mark, and let me have who the top three players are for the last 3 weeks to prove me wrong and score big for the North boys.
Top three, you reckon?
Yeah.
Goldstein's the one that worries me. He's the one that I don't have in my team, that when my opposition does, that sends a shiver down my spine. I reckon with Swallow out, Harvey's going to get a fair bit more attention, so I don't think you're going to see the big scores from him anymore. I guess Petrie's been put in a pretty good year, averaging about 100. It'd be interesting to see whether, like, a Cunnington or a Bastanap can put a few good games together, because they're potentially decent picks for next year.
Yeah, and I think Zeeble has finished off years well in the past too, so he might be in for a fast finish as well. On to the next game, and we've got Brisbane Lions GWS. Vossi being sacked, how do you guys feel about that?
Did not see that coming at all. Like, I mean, I guess that there's been talk out there about it happening, but he made some mistakes early in his career with the Favola thing, and a lot of us at the time sort of thought that that might actually ruin the club completely and really set them back a really long time. But I felt like he'd been making ground, making progress. They beat Geelong. They've had a couple of good wins. They beat the Bombers when we were still playing well. Like, I've actually thought that he was doing all right and had a decent list coming together. So a little bit confused at this stage about why they might have done it. Have they got Roosie lined up and they don't want Melbourne to chomp them in that fight? Can't really see too many other reasons why they'd get rid of Vossi.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, is that there's a big name coach lined up, similar to the sort of Mark Harvey situation over in Freo, when, you know, he seemed to be doing good things for the club, but, you know, you don't say no when someone like Ross Lyon comes on the market. So, you know, if it is a Paul Ruse that's sort of made some sort of agreement, that'd be the only reason that I could understand what's happened.
Why else would you sack a coach 3 weeks out, eh? Well, why not make a club
champion that you have to look after?
Yeah. Just see it out otherwise. So, yeah, I think you guys might be onto something. From a fantasy point of view, I think GWS, do we have any options there? Jezza Cameron, is he still tempting to you, Mark?
No, I think Callum Ward's probably gone up a lot in value this week after a couple of big games in the last three, but he's probably the most fantasy-relevant player out of them if you're looking for a high scorer. Shown some really good form over the last few weeks. Cameron, I guess, as a forward, definitely has the scoring potential. But there's probably are actually better players out there to pick. Cameron's just super exciting.
Now to the Geelong game, and we play West Coast this week. Beat Essendon last week, so it'll be interesting.
It was not a top four finals-bound Essendon side that they beat.
No, it wasn't, but was it a top four bound West Coast that we're seeing? Should I be nervous?
I wouldn't be, mate. They've had pretty awful year. They haven't been able to get any consistency into their players. Lacroix out. Still no Nick Knack back. I wouldn't be too worried.
The one player I did like the look of last week was Sharad Wellingham. I thought he played a very good game of footy. I don't know. It doesn't look like he's terribly super coach relevant, but yeah,
really dangerous across half forward.
Yeah,
I guess as a forward option, he is available as a forward at 400k. Last 3 weeks, 96 at least. So Harry Taylor, Mark, we might have underrated him throughout the year because he's actually managed 96.44 and round 20 now.
Inconsistent as we thought he would be, but definitely has those big scores in him. And one of my potential grand final opponents has Harry Taylor, and yeah, that definitely has me worried. On his day, he can just shut you out of a game.
I think probably Enright's the only other one. We've talked a bit about him before, so we'll just move on then to Melbourne Freo. Now, this should be a fair domination. So if we're looking at a team that really needs to make the prelim this week, we're going to be looking at some PODs for the Fremantle Football Club. And I know you got Barlow in your team, Mark, so I'm guessing he's plumped for a big game then.
Well, had a really big game against him earlier in this year. He's probably struggled the last 5 or 6 weeks comparative to what he was putting out.
Is that since you brought him in?
No, I had him through his big patch as well. So
okay, that's good.
I think against Melbourne, he should get back into form. And if I go with the vice captain on Gary Ablett, I'll probably be going the captain on Barlow if Ablett doesn't do so well.
Last game, Western Bulldogs Adelaide at Etihad Stadium.
The Dogs have been extremely impressive over the last, probably since the Hawthorn game about 5 weeks ago. To watch them on the weekend against Carlton, they were just fantastic to watch. As a supporter, if you're a Doggy supporter, you'd be really heartened at the moment because they're playing a great brand of footy. They've got lots of youth. Jared Grant's looking good. Like, he's finally adapting to AFL and got his fitness right. That's a really exciting brand of football that they play. So if they can hang on to the Cooney and types, and Murphy has another year or two in him, then I think things are looking up for the Bulldogs, and I actually really like to watch them play, and especially at Etihad. They seem to play a really good brand of footy there. So considering Danger will also be playing in that game, I'm kind of looking forward to that one.
Libba's actually averaging 115 at least since the bye, just off the Libba look of it.
Libba is my smoky pick for next year. He's going to be really tough to tag. He wins a lot of contested footy and a lot of clearances. I think he's number one for clearances in the competition. Like, he is a Supercoach star of the future. I'm calling it now.
Really star of the now. Like, he should honestly be coming into just about all Australian contention, you'd think, with some of the numbers he's putting up this year. Another guy to look at, I guess, if you need some bench coverage in the forward line, would be Lewis Johnston. He's 188,000, so a little bit expensive, but you know, obviously at this point of the year you just get whatever you can afford, and in his two games so far he's scored 94 and 70, so some pretty handy form there. If you're forced into a trade and you don't have money to go up to a premium, he's definitely someone to look at.
And is he a top 20 draft pick as well, I think?
Yeah, pick 12 or 13, I think. So, you know, obviously looks like he had some form as a youngster, and hopefully delivering on that now.
I think that pretty much wraps up this week. I mean, it was a different show. There's not all too much to talk about, but it's not much Supercoach left either.
No, there's not. We'll be only a few more shows. We'll do prelims next week, and we'll do a season review before the end of the year. And then we'll be into just watching the real stuff and not counting how many points our players are getting.
This is, believe it or not, 33 for the season we've done now, Mark.
33 episodes.
Yeah, we've got two more. And then we'll say goodbye for 2013, I think.
I wonder how many it'd be total. What, this is our fifth year or so? So maybe 150? Maybe not quite that many?
Yeah, a fair amount now. All right. Enough remembering the past. Hopefully we smash out big scores. Good luck this week, Faz.
Speaking about remembering the past, let's all remember me beating you last week.
All right. I'm really hopeful because I got Cruz this week, Mark, on you. I might actually have a team that stacks up against yours this week. I haven't had that for about 3 weeks.
Bring on some carnage. I've still got trades left.
All right, catch you all next week.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. See you. crazy. Don't want to make me crazy. Don't want to make me crazy.